Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, Canvas Church. How are we doing today? I just want you to do, because I know some of you falling asleep, I want you to look at your neighbor, and if they're not wearing green, I want you to pinch them right now. All right, happy St. Patrick's Day. All right. I didn't know why someone pinched me on the way in. I was like, what's going on? But hey, welcome to church. Glad you're here. Pastor Brandon's already mentioned quite a few things and mentioned our grand opening. I want to mention our grand opening one more time as we get ready for today's message. And it is happening on March 31st. And it's going to be awesome. And there's going to be tons going on. And you better get here early because you're not going to have a seat if you don't. But we have these little invite cards. I would love for you to grab about two of these on your way out today. And just think about somebody you could invite to church for grand opening and invite them and bring them here. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have tons going on. We're going to have stuff for the kids, special stuff, because church should be fun. One of the favorite things that we're going to have is we're going to have street tacos after both services. And so you can never go wrong with tacos, all right? And so make sure you're here. We're going to have a ton of fun. Invite somebody. Pick up some of those cards. Next week, we'll actually have some door hangers as well if you want to grab those. And it's going to be a great time. Here's my hope and my prayer as we open up the doors to the public. Obviously, you're here. And if you're here for the first time, thank you for joining us. But as we get ready for our grand opening on March 31st, here's my prayer and here's my hope that we truly would be a place for everyone. That we would be a place that anybody could walk through the doors of Canvas Church, no matter their background, no matter their ethnicity, no matter what their past looks like, no matter what their present looks like, and they could come in here and feel fully accepted and that they could belong. Are you with me? And that's what I want. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm believing for. And that's not why we're doing this series entitled For Everyone. But as I was getting ready and just praying about the grand opening, I started thinking through that. And then God led me quickly to the book of Galatians, which we're going through. But I would love for you to join me in praying that. God, as we open up the doors on March 31st to the public, number one, who can I bring? Who is far from? Does anybody have somebody in their life that doesn't know Jesus? Seven of you. Y'all need to get out a little more, right? Go to the bar. No, I'm just kidding. But get some people in your life that don't know Jesus, all right, so that your life can be a testimony to them. I want you to start praying for them and invite them to church and get them here. And I guarantee you they'll walk through the doors and they won't feel judged. They'll just feel loved and they'll know that there's a good God in heaven. That's my prayer. That's my hope. And so I want you just to pray with me for that as we get ready for our grand opening. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. In order for us to be a church that embraces everyone, okay, we have to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to believe that the good news of Jesus Christ applies to our life and therefore applies to everyone else's life. Listen to me, we cannot be a church that embraces everyone from all walks of life and different backgrounds and things like that if we are trying to just be Canvas Church. Okay, if we're trying to do some program, or if we're trying to do, some unique thing. Listen, here's what we're going to do at Canvas Church, and we're always going to do this at Canvas Church, and it's why we will be a church for everyone. We are simply going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And once we begin to preach this, if we truly believe it, then we as a church can be a church that really is for everyone. This is in essence what Paul is trying to sum up and trying to capture in the book of Galatians, that it's not about your ethnicity. It's not about your background. All the middle school students, you can go. Sorry, my bad. If you thought people were getting mad at me and walking out in the middle of my service, you're wrong. They would never do that. But middle school students, look at all the middle school students. That's awesome. Come Tuesday night, middle school students. You'll love it. If you're not here, you can never come back, ever. But Paul is really trying to capture this idea, and really, let me just read this to you, because I think this verse in Galatians sums up the book of Galatians and really sums up what Paul is trying to get across to the church in Galatia. Galatians 3:28, it says, there is no Jew or Greek. In other words, it's not about nationality. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about that. There's no Jew or Greek. There's no slave or free. He's addressing it now, and he's talking about economic status. And listen to this next part. There's no male nor female. Listen to now. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Do we have any note takers in here? Anybody like to take notes? If you want paper notes right now, just shoot your hand in the air. Okay, we'll get you a paper note. Keep your hand up. Just so you know that at the info table, we will have them every single Sunday morning for you. You can grab them there. But Paul writes this, and to me it really sums everything up, that the only way that we can be one is in Christ Jesus. The only way that we can be a church that's for everyone is as we preach Christ Jesus. Are you with me? And so here we are opening up our doors and talking through the book of Galatians. And I just want to try to capture this thought even more today as we dive into the book of Galatians. If you're not there yet, turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. The first 2 weeks we covered verses 1, 2, I think maybe 3. It might have just been verses 1 and 2. If you missed that, jump on the podcast. Today we're going to kind of move through it and finish up the greeting portion of Galatians chapter 1. And as we do that, I want you to catch what he's saying in these first couple of verses. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men or by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead and all the brothers who are with me. Again, we talked about the last couple weeks and we see the authority that Paul writes with, the boldness that he writes with. And then he goes on with his greeting and he says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This again is his whole greeting portion. And I find it interesting that he says, and grace and peace to you. What's happening? Why is he writing this? Once again, Paul is writing to the church of Galatia that's made up of Jews, those that have grown up in a tradition, and Greeks who have no tradition and are literally being saved and being added to the family of God. Because of that, there is now some tension because there's a whole group that is having all of their traditions ripped away from them. Okay? And yet there's this new group that's just trying to identify with what's taking place. And so now there's some tension that's happening there. But Paul says, guys, listen to me. Let the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be to you, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to read that again, but I want you to see this. This is what Paul's doing. He's trying to shift their focus, and he's trying to get it back to the main thing. He's trying to get their focus on the main things being the main thing. To the church in Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father. Here's the main thing. His grace towards us and his peace that he has for us. It comes from God the Father. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jesus? Here he is again, bringing back the focus. It's about Jesus who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. In other words, we're saved out of that. Don't live like that. According to the will, God has a will for your life, of God the Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to talk to you for the next few moments about keeping the main things the main thing. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that, Lord, you would just communicate to us from this passage. That, Lord, you would speak to us in such a way, God, that our hearts, God, connects with the word. Lord, I pray we'd walk out of here eternally changed. Help me now in this moment, God, to create an atmosphere where people can encounter your son, Jesus, know your incredible love, and come to the realization of the amazing plan you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. For those that have been a part of Canvas for a while, you know this by now, but I like to use basketball analogies. Anybody like basketball analogies? Raise your hand, everybody does. Thank you, raise your hand, yes, okay, perfect. I use basketball analogies because I love basketball and I played basketball for a long time and now my daughters play basketball and so it's just, I'm just constantly around it. I'm watching, I'm playing it and I still remember actually growing up because I had three older brothers and I still remember my very first hoop. Anybody remember their first hoop? I remember my first hoop. It was the one mounted right above the garage door, yeah? And there it was and we would go out and play every day. The only problem was we had a hoop mounted above the garage door but we had a gravel driveway. You ever tried dribbling in a gravel driveway? Now, I'm not talking about a compacted gravel drive. I'm talking about you dribble the ball and it doesn't bounce back up, right? And so because of that, I can shoot from anywhere, but I can't dribble at all. So if you ever play basketball with me and you think I'm a black hole and I never pass the ball, it's just because that's all I do is shoot, all right? So I've been around basketball for a long time and I've had the opportunity not only to play, but I've had the opportunity to coach both girls and boys. But since I have two girls, a lot of times it's girls, and I'll never forget one particular time that I'm coaching the girls' basketball team, And as a coach, you set up plays, right? And the whole purpose of the play, right, is to get the ball in the bucket or stop the defense or stop the offense from scoring. And so I remember one particular game, and I was like, hey, in this game, we're going to play man-to-man defense or woman-to-woman, right? If you don't know what that is, that's where this player guards that player, all right? And so we set it all up. We're like, you guard this person, you guard this person. When you get on the court, I want you to let them know who you're guarding, all right? And make sure you stick with that person, all right? Okay, got it, coach. They go out there. And a couple minutes after setting up the man-to-man defense, they steal the ball from us. And this girl takes off, and she's going to, you know, make a layup. And I see one of my players, and she goes like this, and she turns and guards her player. All the while that girl just drives in and makes a layup. Are you following me? I'm watching it, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she's just smiling, guarding her player. Just like, yeah, I got my player, and this girl's just scoring a layup. And I get a little intense sometimes. And so, I don't know, they might have been fifth graders, but I called a timeout. I was like, timeout! I got up and said, what are you doing? She's like, what do you mean, coach? I was like, well, why didn't you stop her? Because I'm guarding my player. Yeah, I know you're guarding your player, but you let her score. But coach, you told me to guard her. All of a sudden it dawned on me. This girl has no clue how to play basketball. All of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, wait, we need to have a deeper conversation here. I said, sit down. I said, guys, what was the point of our defense? To guard our player. I'm like, no. That is not the point of the defense. This is not? No. The point of the defense is to stop the other team from scoring. Oh. Okay. They didn't know what the main thing was. Because they didn't know what the main thing was, they thought they were doing the right thing. Paul, in his greeting to the church of Galatia, in the first five verses, right after he lays out, hey, here's who I am and here's the authority I'm writing to or with to you, he then begins to bring back into focus the main things. Because here's what I've come to realize, and here's what Paul understood as he looked at the church of Galatia. And listen to me, for like the next five verses or chapters, he lays into them. But before he deals with their self-centered heart and their self-centered way of living that they're totally missing, he goes, you know, before I can even address you, here's what I need you to do. I need you to look at the main things. We need to get back to the main things. And you know, I've come to realize that in this spiritual journey, too oftentimes, that we get sidetracked. We get detoured. And the main things are no longer the main thing. All of a sudden, it can become so quickly about something else, right? Like we're supposed to pursue Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that we're after. He's the one that we're looking to. But all of a sudden, if we take a time out and look, really, where is Jesus in the equation? Right? Like you say, well, pastor, I came to church. Great, it's not about coming to church. Is Jesus the focus of your life? But pastor, you know what? I was here serving yesterday. I tore out some weeds. Awesome. But is Jesus the focus of your life? But pastor, you know what? I joined the worship team. Yeah, but you can't sing. So even if Jesus is the main focus of your life, go join the children's ministry because you can't sing. I got one amen. And see, all these things we think that are taking us close, listen, all of those things can be good, but they are a tool that gets you to Jesus. Church is awesome and we need to be in community, but it is a tool that points you to Jesus. Small group is awesome, but it is a tool that points you to Jesus. Serving on a team is great, but it's a tool that points you to Jesus. Are you with me today? But see, we can end up doing all those things and think we're doing the right thing. Look, I came to church, pastor. Guarding my player. I came to church, look at me. And it's like, yeah, but where's Jesus in your life? And we can get so off, and all of a sudden the main thing is not the main thing. But you know, here's the thing. It can happen in any area of our life. Especially as believers, and here's why. Because you need to understand something. As a Christ follower, you are primarily a spiritual being having a temporary earthly experience. Not a human being having living on earth having a temporary spiritual experience. No, you are a spiritual being. The minute that you came to Jesus and that was awakened inside of you and now you know, listen, that impacts every area of your life. It impacts your marriage. It impacts the way you raise your children. It impacts the way you go to work. It impacts, are you with me today? And so because of that, when all of a sudden we get off spiritually, it impacts every area of our life. And Paul sees what's going on in Galatia, sees that there's tension, right? There's some stuff going on. Sees that they're actually beginning to judge each other even based on their economic status or whether they're male or female. And he says, you know what? We just need to nip this thing. But before I die, I need to get their focus back on the main things. I need to get their focus right back there. Now, here's the thing. My heart kind of goes out for the Jews, right? Because this church in Galatia is made up of Greeks, those that are being saved and brought into the family with no tradition, and then Jews who are being saved with all of their tradition, and now they're like, wait a second, what about our traditions? And so, yeah, there's some tension. Does anybody have any traditions in here? Two of you. Wow. Come on, how many of you guys have any holiday traditions? Those would be the first things that pop into my, okay, now hands are going up. Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know Christmas is a long way off, but that would be the first kind of traditions that come to my mind, right? But you have those traditions, right, that you just do. And have you ever had that moment where you invite somebody else into your tradition and they don't get it? Right? And you're just like, what is wrong with you? How are you even in my house right now? Come on, am I being real? Someone steps on your tradition, it's like, Satan. We have traditions, Christmas. One of ours is this. I mean, it's like, you know, like you have your like movie. Anybody have like a holiday movie they watch? Like it's just tradition, right? And it's like somebody comes over and they're like, oh, I don't watch that. That's horrible. And it's like, how could you not like Elf? Right? Oh, I know why. It's because you're an angry elf, right? Only those that have watched the movie actually get that, but, right? And that's like one of our traditions. Like we have, like, this is our tradition. Thanksgiving's over, Friday morning, we know it's coming. We are setting up for Christmas, right? Christmas music is playing probably around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We're pulling out all the Christmas decorations. We're having hot cocoa, which is really weird because it's still like 80 degrees outside in San Diego, but it's a tradition. All right, get over it. You know, and so we're having hot cocoa and we have Elf playing as we're decorating the tree. And as someone else comes over and starts stepping on my tradition, I got issues. All right? Create some tension. Okay? But here's what Paul says. He goes, look, you gotta put your traditions aside. And let's get back to the main things. Let's get back to the main things. I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, it sometimes can veer off. And that's why it's good for me to take moments and pause and reflect and think, what is this all about? And that's why it's good to have people in my life, that, you know, the checks and the balances that, hey, because it can get off. And I can literally be doing this thing thinking it's all about him and all about reaching people only to discover it's not doing either. Right? And there's a season in my life, just recently actually, when we're at the theater for 2.5 years, about the last year and a half, and I shared this with the leadership team, and I just opened up. I was just like, honestly, guys, like, I don't feel like I have anything else in me right now. I just feel like I'm trying to pull off Sunday morning. And listen, I love people. Like, you can ask my wife, like, every one of you would have a key to my house if it was up to me. And the code to my garage and the keys to my motorcycle and you can get in my fridge, have whatever you want. Just clean up after yourself. Have sports going. It better be basketball, though. No golf, right? I come home, feet are kicked up, and you're just like, hey. And I'm like, is dinner ready? And you're like, no. And I'm like, ah. right? I love people. But like for the last year and a half of being in that theater, I was just like, I just trying to pull off a Sunday morning. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit checked me and it's just like, look, like you need to get back to the main things. The main things. You can pull off a Sunday morning all day long, but are you ministering to people? And that's why, like, why here, you know, I feel like God's allowing us to come here to just like, hey, let's make sure that we keep the main things the main things. This is my prayer, and I want to invite you into it because I want you to pray for me and with me and for the leadership team. This is my prayer right now. God, you've blessed us with this. Now, what do you want us to do with it? God, you blessed us with it. And that's why, you know, why some people, like, they have a whole bunch of ideas, and I want all the ideas. Seriously, I do. And people are coming and say, hey, can we use the building for this night? And right now I'm saying no to everything, and it's not because I want to say no to you. It's because I want to take time to pray and say, God, what do you want this to be used for? God, what do you want it to be used for? Because I want this to be used for your glory. I want this to be used to reach more people for your kingdom. And God, what does that look like? How does that happen? Are you with me, church? Can you jump in on that prayer with me? As we open up our doors on the 31st, I believe there's gonna be hundreds of new people that come. But what does it look like? What do we do? What happens on it, man? Because I got tons of ideas. I mean, I would love to do worship night. Come on, all right. I would love to do some sort of like leadership night. See, you don't know what I'm doing right now. I'm judging on applause is what we're gonna do. I'm like, okay, worship night's winning so far, okay. I would love to do a family night where like everybody's on campus at the same time, but yet there's something going on for everybody, right? There's all sorts of ideas, but here's where I'm at. I was like, God, what do you wanna do? What do you wanna do with this place? And that's why even today when some of you walked on and you maybe walked on last week, some of you don't even recognize these things, but you walked on last week and there were all these flowers everywhere and plants and whatnot. And then you walked on this week and you're like, whoa, where'd they all go? Pastor's a minimalist. Rip it all out. Concrete jungle. No, just kidding. No, but here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking to myself, how much money does it take to water that? How much money does it take to pay a gardener to take care of that? What if we minimize that and we could use that money to reach more people for Jesus Christ? Okay, I know you walked in here thinking I was a plant hater. But you got it wrong. I'm a people lover. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if we can minimize that impact, we have more finances to reach people for Jesus Christ. You with me? But I need you to pray with me. I need you to pray for me because I want to use this for his glory. Amen? Amen. And here's Paul at the very beginning. In his letter to the church of Galatia, he reminds them of what the main things are before he dives into their self-centered issues. So let's just take a look real quick. What are the main things? Number one, because I believe they're still true today. Number one, what are the main things? God's grace and peace are available for you. God's grace and peace to you. How could Paul extend that? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, God's grace. Hey, Church of Galatia, I know there's tension and I know there's things happening and I know you got some traditions that are being walked on and I know there's just some stuff happening, but here's what you got to remember. God's grace and peace is available for you. In the middle of what you're facing, in the middle of what you're going through, listen, you're not going through it alone. And not only that, his grace is sufficient and his peace is available for you. And that still rings true today. And it's one of the main things. And listen to me, we've got to make sure that we realize that. We got to make sure, church, that as we move forward in our spiritual journey, that we continue to focus on that. It's about his grace. We are saved by grace and grace alone. It's his grace, and his grace is abundant towards people, and his grace is abundant towards the church, and his grace. Listen to the verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, his grace is sufficient for me. This is the main thing, his grace, that's sufficient. Listen to that now, his grace is what? Sufficient. In other words, there's nothing else you need. What are you in search of? What are you trying to hold on to? What are you trying to latch on to? You don't need anything else. You just need his grace. It's sufficient for you. It's sufficient for you. Here's the thing. Coming to that realization, if we keep that the main thing, here's what we're saying. We understand that we need his grace. If you can get to the place where you say, man, his grace is sufficient for me, that's the place where I'm saying I've recognized that I need his grace. And once I recognize I need his grace and his grace comes into my life, here's the thing. It changes the way I do everything. There's no more tension in relationships. Because here's why there's no more tension in relationships. Because I realize that I need his grace. And when I realize I need his grace, it becomes sufficient for me. And then what happens is I look through a different filter at everybody else. I come to the realization I need his grace. It makes me think that maybe somebody else needs his grace as well. It's not just me. I need it, but everyone else needs it as well. His grace becomes sufficient. Here's what it does. It changes the way you look at humanity. It totally changes the way you look at humanity. Now, I work with my kids often on relationships and relational issues because they like anybody else. Don't pretend. I know some of you are like, oh yeah, I remember those years. No, you have relational issues now. And you ever been there before where you kind of start to label somebody? Angry elf. Right? You start to label people like, oh man, they're just like that. They're just angry. Oh, they're depressed all the time, or they're whatever. You know what I'm talking about? So I've had these conversations with my kids, and we'll be talking, and they'll be like, oh, so-and-so is just that way. I said, well, hold on. How many conversations have you had with so-and-so? I said, maybe they're going through something right now. And they'll look at me and they'll like, no, that's who they are. See, but here's the thing. When you understand God's grace and sufficient for your life, and all of a sudden you start extending grace to other people, you look through a different filter. And you say, and here's what happens, is you start thinking positively about people rather than negatively about people. If your first assumption about people, and we all know what happens when we assume.
No, we don't, Pastor, tell us.
Someone's raising. Here's the thing. If your first assumption about people is always negative, you do not understand the grace that is sufficient for you. But when you get to the place where you always assume the best about somebody else, now you're beginning to understand his grace a little bit more. Because his grace absolutely is a main thing. And it changes the way you view circumstances and situations. And it changes the way you view people. You ever heard the term extend grace to somebody else? You can't extend that which you don't have. But when his grace is sufficient for you, man. But it's not just his grace, listen. His grace and his peace. His peace. Let me just talk about his peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything. How many things?
Everything.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace, everybody say peace. The peace of God which surpasses every thought will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hey guys, his grace and his peace are available to you. Man, what a powerful thought. If you really understand that and it's the main thing, let me ask this question. What are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? What has you awake at night that you're contemplating? What has you weighed down during the day? What just continues to capture your thought life and your mind over and over and over again? What are you worried about? Let's just go back to the main thing. His grace and his peace are available for you. Church of Galatia, I know there's lots going on. Okay, I'm gonna address that, but let me just get you pointed in the right direction again. His grace and his peace, it's for you. And just that right there can solve and settle so many issues in your life. I don't know about you, but I want peace in my home. I want peace in my church. I want peace in our teams. I want peace with my wife. I want peace with my kids. I want peace. It's the main thing. Keeping the main things. And he says this. He says, remember, your sins are forgiven. I paraphrased it, but listen to what he says. Hey, and remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross for your sins so you'd be saved from this evil present age. Wow. What is he saying? He comes at him a little soft, says, hey, God's grace is good. His peace is for you. Hey, wake up. Christ died for your sins. See, some of us just need to remember that. Some of us need to remember that before we met Jesus, we were a sinner. That before we met Jesus, we were just like the person we're looking at judging right now. Before we met Jesus, we probably looked just like that person we're judging right now. Are you with me? He says, guys, don't you remember? Man, you're missing it. It's not about your traditions. And I understand they're getting stepped on a little bit. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus and the work of the cross and what it means to us still today. Man, we need to remember that. Let us never forget that. Let us never forget that. Listen to what Paul writes in another letter he writes to his son Timothy in the faith. This is another letter he writes. It's known as a pastoral letter because Timothy's a pastor, and he writes this. 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this is what Paul does. He says this, and I am the worst of them. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, I remember. Christ came. He didn't come because everyone was so good. He didn't come because, man, you guys are just so beautiful and wonderful. I'm just going to come hang out with you. Paul says, listen to me, Timothy. There's one reason why Christ Jesus came. He came to save sinners. And I remember I was the worst of them. And let's never forget. Because here's the thing. If we start to forget that it's about Jesus saving people, we get off and the main things are no longer the main things. We get off. Listen to me, hear it right now. We will preach about Jesus until the day he comes back. You'll come on a Sunday morning, you might get tired of hearing it, but you're gonna hear about, man, we want this to be a place for people to encounter Jesus, know his love, and live out his plan. We're gonna talk about Jesus a lot because the whole Old Testament points to Jesus. Pastor, but let's go on to some deeper things. Is there anything deeper, Paul is saying? Is there anything deeper than for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to die on the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life? Does it get any deeper than that? Are you with me? Listen, we preach out of the Old Testament, we preach out of the New Testament, but we'll never preach from somebody else's book. Amen. Come on. But everything will come back to the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He did. And I'm telling you, the minute we forget that, all of a sudden we get off and we got to do something different. We got to do something more. Yeah. We got to do something more? Like what? Like what? You know what we look like? We look like the girl playing defense. Let's do more, Pastor. You're guarding your man. I know. I'm doing more. Yeah, but while you're doing that, see those people going by you? They're going to hell. Oh, it got quiet. That was a Jesus juke. Pastor, can we do? Yes, we can do all of that as long as it creates an environment for people to discover Jesus, know his love, and live his plan. Pastor, can we eat meals together after church? Sure, as long as you create an environment with that meal. Come on, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Bring it on. It's another joke. Jesus joke. You'll catch it later. Yeah, we can do all that. But is it pointing people to Jesus? Is it pointing people to Jesus? Is it pointing people to Jesus? Pastor, can we go like hand out water bottles to people that are thirsty? Absolutely. Just be careful Jesus doesn't get around the water. It's a John chapter 2 joke. It's not a Jesus joke. Just trying to feel out who's reading their Bible. But we got to keep the main things. Are you with me, church? His grace, his peace, and let's never forget that Christ came to save sinners, in which you and I were. As the worship team comes, lastly, it's about God's will. It's about his will. Look at what Paul writes. According to the will of God. According to the will of God. Man, grace and peace, man, it's available for you. Man, let's remember Christ died for our sins. And now let's move forward and live out the will of God. Let's live out the will of God. But I know the minute I say that, some of you are like, I want to. But what is the will of God? And I know, because I've been working with people for so long, what they mean by that is they mean specifically for them. Like, what job am I supposed to have? Who am I supposed to marry? You know, where am I supposed to live? And I've said it before, and I really mean it. Like none of that really matters. I mean, if you married the right one, so just stay married. Here's what the will of God is. This is what Paul says. He said that Christ died for your sins so that you might be saved from this present evil age. Here's God's will. He doesn't want you to live according to the world. Christ saved you. Just live your life in such a way that shows that Christ saved you. And here's the thing, for all of us, we're in process, so that could look different. See, some of us want benchmarks, because we're all like, we want to be so success-driven and so success-oriented. Like, okay, pastor, but what should my life look like in like 6 months from now? Different than it does now? No, but I mean like how many services should I be coming to? Well, with me preaching all of them, but... But how many ministry teams should I be on, and what should I? No. Here's the thing. Go back to this verse. Be anxious for nothing. Right? Here's the thing. If I'm honest with you, like, I've improved in that, but I'm still anxious. I still get anxious, and I'll let anxiety rule for about 4 days. And then I'll be like, wait a second, there's a verse for that. And on the fifth day, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I should probably pray. Pastor, you don't pray? I didn't say that. Just the things I'm anxious about, I don't pray for 4 days. But here's the thing. Like, as I continue to pursue Jesus, now all of a sudden the 4 days becomes 2 days. That's the will of God for your life. That you just, the will of God for my life, pastor, is that I'm anxious for 2 days? No, listen to what I'm saying. There's growth. There's improvement. There's advancement. And I just continue, like, but how do I get there? You just love him. See, here's the thing, we complicate it so much. I feel like we complicate it. Just, does your life demonstrate that it's been transformed by Jesus? Well, yeah, I don't, good. But what's next? Just love him and let him love you back. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I'll end on this one, because this is a good one. It just wants you to walk free from sin. Not do things the world does, but Ecclesiastes, it just to me is so simple, so plain. It says this in Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20. Here's what I've seen to be good. It is appropriate to eat and drink. How many of you guys love to eat and drink? Okay, I mean, just short question. How many of you guys love to eat? How many of you guys love to drink? I know some people are like, what are we talking about? Could you be more specific, pastor? It's like the question when you go to the doctor, it used to just say, do you drink? And people are like, no, it says, do you drink alcohol? Come on, how many of you guys like to drink liquid? Okay, good. He says, it's good to eat, drink, listen now, and experience good in all the labor one does under the sun. You hearing that? All the labor. Your labor looks different than my labor. During the few days of life God has given him, because that is his reward. God has also given riches and wealth. How many of you guys want riches and wealth? Lord, I'll take theirs. They don't want it. To every man, and he has allowed him, listen to this now, he has allowed him to enjoy them, take his reward and rejoice in his labor. That is the gift of God. For he does not often consider the days. I love this last part. Listen to it. For he, this is the man on earth, does not often consider the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with the joy of his heart. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. This is what God wants for you. He just wants you to enjoy what you're doing, as long as it's not sin. He wants you to enjoy the fruit of your labor, whatever you're doing, then just keep doing that. Are you joyful in it? Why do we complicate things? Why do we make things so difficult? Let's just love Jesus and experience life and enjoy what we're doing. And as we do that, man, God's will just continue to happen in our life. And people will come and be like, whoa, you're happy with what you do. I know. Why? Because he makes me happy with the joy of my labor. That's why I could be here yesterday, like doing things I don't even know how to do, just pretending I know how to do it. Right? Thank God a professional came in and poured the concrete, because I would have never made it look like that. I've seen my concrete before, and it looks nothing like that guy's concrete. Like, but I'm just here and I'm joyful. Man, in your marriage, are you joyful? And find fulfillment in that. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to experience life in your job, in your career. That's God's will. Walk free from sin. Man, embrace a life that embodies him and be happy in what you're doing. Are you with me? Come on, that's God's will. Let's do that. Let's not complicate things. Let's keep going after Jesus. Remember that he saved you, and know that his grace and his peace are available for you. God, we thank you so much. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing at Canvas Church. And Lord, in the next 2 weeks, Lord, as we open up the doors, Lord, and I believe we're gonna see hundreds of people come in. God, I pray that those people would experience your life and your grace right here at this place. I pray they would encounter you. I pray they would know your love. And I pray they would walk out of here saying, man, God's got an incredible plan for my life. But Lord, I pray you wouldn't wait till that day. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for every person in this place to walk out of here having heard from this word. God, having just being able to walk away, say, I'm gonna wrestle with that a little while. And God, that you would speak to them, minister to them, and they would find great joy and great hope in you. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that Canvas would be a beacon of hope and a beacon of light. Lord, I pray that people would come from all over. God, we ask even right now, Lord, as we look forward to our grand opening day, God, we ask right now, come on, church, pray with me. Lord, that you would draw people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God, you would draw them out of their homes. God, you draw them out of their depression. God, you draw them out of their addiction. God, you draw them out of their hopelessness. God, let them come here and let them meet with you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, I pray, Lord, as the doors open up, God, it would be fun here. God, it would be a place where we could build community and relate. But most of all, God, it would be a place where you restore the brokenhearted. God, you restore marriages. God, you restore the hearts of children back to the fathers and mothers. And you restore the hearts of fathers and mothers back to their children. God, let this be a place, Lord, where people can walk in and experience your grace in such an abundant way that it doesn't matter what life was like the day before, they would encounter a new life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Grab some cards on the way out. Invite some people to grand opening. If you're staying around to hang out and work, we got food for you outside the gym. So God bless. Have an amazing, amazing week. Get ready, because the best is yet to come.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.